Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, one and all, ladies and gentlemen, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert, and I'm being told this is just, is this true? Is this true in here? This just in, we have breaking news. Donald Trump is upset about something. Can we fact check that? That is true. Okay. Evidently, I'm just finding this out now, one of the things that Joe Biden has been running on in this election is the success and the popularity of Obamacare. It's all part of the radical political theory that people enjoy staying alive. Well, this idea seems to have ruffled Trump's dander. Because just a short time ago, he truthed, "I'm not running to terminate the ACA as crooked Joe Budden disinformates and misinformates all the time." It's true. No, folks, listen up. He disinformates, he misinformates, and spreads untruthfulnessitudes. Joe Budden clearly has diminished cognugitude. Now, Trump claims he's not trying to repeal Obamacare, which is something he actually tried repeatedly to do in the past. Instead, he says he wants to make the Affordable Care Act much, much, much better for far less money, or cost, to our grest American citizens. Yes, our grest, which according to Urban Dictionary means an interesting way to say great breasts. I'm guessing that one's not a typo. In fact, I believe that's what MAGA stands for. Make America Grest Auga. You don't often get to say Auga. I'm gonna linger on that. You know, folks, I consider myself a deep spiritual thinker. I frequently ponder the age-old questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things ever happen to Donald Trump? Yesterday, the Trump Media and Technology Group, or HPV, which owns Truth Social, completed a deal to go public. According to Bloomberg News, that deal increased Trump's net worth by more than $4 billion, making him one of the world's 500 richest people. He made over $4 billion misspelling things on the toilet. My God, I hope that article is misinformated. The name of the company Trump merged with is the completely innocent-sounding Digital World Acquisition Corp. I forget, are they bad guys in RoboCop or Terminator? Coming into trading today, the Wall Street gave the combined company a valuation of about $13 billion, which experts warn us is untethered to reality. To give a sense of how bonkers that estimate is, Reddit was only valued at $6.4 billion at its IPO last week, even though it generated 160 times more revenue than Trump Media. Yeah, there's no way that Truth Social is worth more than Reddit. Truth Social doesn't even have one sub-channel dedicated to birds with arms. Can we just run that for the rest of the monologue? On top of that, in the first 9 months of 2023, Truth Social lost $49 million. And with results like that, naturally, at the opening bell, the stock surged about 56%. So Trump sells something that does terribly, yet it makes him billions. I like that business model. That's why I'm introducing my new product, Stephen Colbert's Bathtub Toaster. The tingling means it's working. Yeah. Mm. Now, in fairness, you can see why investors might get excited about the company. Just take a look at their quarterly income statements. That is a rocket ride to the moon. And, okay, I'm sorry. I'm being told that's upside down. Okay. To add insult to there is no justice in this veil of tears, the company is traded under the ticker DJT. That is the height of narcissism. And I say that as a man who bolted his name to the side of this building. So, that's tasteful. That's not narcissism. That's not narcissism because it's my name. How was Trump so lucky that ticker symbol, DJT, was available? Well, there wasn't a huge demand for it after he previously used it in 1995 for his hotel and casino company, which filed for bankruptcy and was delisted from the stock exchange 9 years later. But that wasn't his fault. He was trying to make money in the notoriously difficult casino industry. You know what they say, the house always files for bankruptcy. Now, no surprise, there's an alluring whiff of corruption around this whole deal, centered on secretive billionaire and guy at the food court who's just going to sit here and watch you eat. Jeff Yass. Reportedly, Yass is a part owner of Digital World Acquisition Corporation. He's also a major investor in TikTok's parent company, ByteDance. Congress has been threatening to shut down TikTok unless it is sold by its China-based parent company. And the person who originally demanded that they sell was a guy named Donald Trump. He changed his mind after Yass met with Trump in Florida. Is that suspicious? Yass! Yes!
Ah! Cold-blooded!
It was a blast from the past. Truth Social does have one power user. His name is Donald Trump. And yesterday, on his app, Trump embraced the idea that he's kind of like Jesus Christ. In a post about his New York fraud case where he claims a fan came up to him and said, "It's ironic that Christ walked through his greatest persecution the very week they are trying to steal your property from you." Exactly. Trump is just like Christ. The Pharisees despised Jesus because Jesus had all that prime Dead Sea front property. Jesus is a brilliant capitalist. He's buying lepers at rock bottom prices, healing them, then flipping them for big denarii. We all know how he got his initial round of funding, selling golden sandals. Now, speaking of people who are divorced from reality, there was a big announcement this afternoon from presidential candidate most likely to eat a stick of natural deodorant, RFK Jr. Jr. is getting heat from Democrats, who thinks he's trying to siphon votes away from Joe Biden, calling him a stalking horse for Trump. But I'm not sure that metaphor is apt, because at least horses wear shoes. Even Biden trolled RFK Jr. on St. Patrick's Day by posing with over 36 members of the Kennedy family who oppose RFK's independent run. Wow. I haven't seen an Irish-on-Irish attack that vicious since the lines at every soft pretzel cart in Fenway Park. So, RFK Jr. could use some big-name help to boost his campaign. And after floating potential running mates like Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura, today, he unveiled his megawatt VP pick. Say it with me, Nicole Shanahan. Now, what do we know about Nicole Shanahan? Well, her first name is Nicole, and this is actually interesting, her last name is Shanahan. Apparently, she's an attorney and entrepreneur who was once married to Google founder Sergey Brin. In fact, if you try to Google Shanahan, you just get a page that says, "Error 404, not found. I'm doing fine, bro. Better than ever." Why? Did she ask? So, just why? So why? Sure, big Shanaheads in here tonight. So why is RFK getting into these Shanahanigans? Well, many one reason. She is a major campaign donor who paid most of the cost for RFK Jr.'s $7 million Super Bowl ad. Picking a Veep based on who can afford a Super Bowl ad is a long tradition. That's why Mitt Romney chose his running mate, Florida Senator Bud Light Limerita. Oh, it's, no, Shanahan getting up. Why not? It's Women's History Month. Check your calendar. And you know what that means. Some guy is saying something dumb about women. This time, it's political strategist and Six Flags man after his grandson introduced him to edibles. James Carville. In a recent interview with the New York Times, Carville blamed the Democratic Party's problems on too many preachy females who keep telling men, don't drink beer, don't watch football. Yeah, women don't want men drinking beer and watching football. Who do men think they are? Taylor Swift? Carville, sure. Carville added, the message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You gotta eat your peas. Gotta eat your peas. That sounds weirdly specific to James Carville. These women are like global warming is real. James, you gotta eat your peas. You gotta change your sheets more than once a month. The smell is intolerable. Don't preach to me, woman. I'm spooning with my gator. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Carol Burnett.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my friends. Oh, my dears. My guest tonight is a 7-time Emmy-winning actress and the queen of TV variety shows. She now stars in the Apple TV Plus series Palm Royale.
Answer to all my problems would be if I could smother you with this pillow.
I dare you to try it. You don't have it in you. You don't have the guts, the pizzazz, that do or die sparkle.
But I could have it in me.
See? You don't have it in you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Of course I would never do that. Bad, Maxine, bad!
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Carol Burnett. Carol,
yes.
As you can tell, I am not the only one excited that you're here. Thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm too.
I've had the opportunity to interview a few times,
both
at this show and at the last show, and it's always a joy. You're one of my all-time favorite guests.
Thank you.
You're so natural and relaxed in yourself, but also larger than life at the same time. But I'm just curious, did you, I mean, you've had such a long and storied career. Did you ever get nervous on talk shows?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember a long time ago, you know, when Johnny Carson was on.
Sure, sure.
And I would be nervous. He kind of made me nervous because when you sat in that chair, you had to score. You know, because
yeah, it was very important. Yeah, like every Freddie DeCordova was over you like a hawk.
Yeah, Buddy Hackett and Bob Hope and this and that. And I'm not a stand-up or anything. So I thought, what am I going to do? I decided, and I didn't tell Johnny, that I would be the world's worst guest. So
I shudder to imagine.
I get on the show.
Yeah.
Now, this was years ago. And he said, I'm so glad you're here, Carol. I understand that you just moved out from New York, but that you were raised here in Hollywood, and then you went to New York, and now you're back in California again. Are you thrilled about that? And I said, yes. And then he said, and wasn't Betty Grable your favorite movie star when you were growing up in Hollywood? I said, yes. And then he said, and I understand that you bought Betty Grable's old house, so you're living in it. Yes. He said, did you ever think that such a thing like that would happen to you? I said, no. Well, of course he caught on.
Sure.
I mean, you know. And then he started asking all kinds of interesting questions, which I could just say, maybe. No.
Well, I'm jealous of anybody who had any time with Carson.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Obviously he's the model for so many of us. But you also had, you started your career with Gary Moore.
Yep, like right here on the stage.
On the stage.
Yeah.
Before the Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
And then you were on the Ed Sullivan Show 7 times.
I understand.
That's what research says.
Okay.
It says they couldn't print that if it wasn't legal. Right there.
Yeah.
7 times. And of course, so many people came on this stage. Matter of fact, where we're sitting right now, the Beatles performed up center up there. But we've been told that Elvis performed right here with the Jordanaires behind him, where this desk is. Did you ever meet any of those big names?
Well, I was on when Elvis was on, when he was in the Army. And they did a whole big thing when he was in the Army on the stage. And they put me on first. Nobody wanted to see me. I mean, it was Elvis. Where the hell is Elvis? We want to see. I bombed. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible.
I can't imagine that.
It was awful, yeah.
But did you say hi to him? Like, did you go back?
Yes, I met him. He was very sweet. And I got his autograph for my kid sister.
Well,
yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Well, Elvis inspired the song that you did called I Made a Fool of Myself.
Over John Foster Dulles.
Right. I know this song.
Yeah.
I've heard this song.
Yes.
But for the people who don't know, tell the people, A, who John Foster Dulles was.
John Foster Dulles in the 50s was our Secretary of State, aptly named.
Dulles.
He was so dull. He was really, there was nothing there. You know, and I remember he wore this overcoat and his hat and never smiled or anything. So I was doing a special material song that a friend of mine wrote called I Made a Fool of Myself Over John Foster Dulles, which was meant to be like everybody was going crazy over Elvis. So he wrote this song about this young girl going crazy over John Foster Dulles.
Elvis Dulles. It's a very
exactly.
Short jump there.
Well, I did it on the Parr Show, and then I was working at a nightclub, the Blue Angel, and I went back to do the second show, and the phones were ringing off the hook, and one of the calls was from David Waters, who was Mr. Dulles' press advisor, and he said, Mr. Dulles didn't see it, but could you go back on the Jack Parr Show and do it so that he could see it? So I went back, I did it again, and then I did it again on the Ed Sullivan Show. And all hell broke loose. I mean, it was in front page news. Who is this girl singing about the Secretary of State?
Well, did you ever, did he ever, like, say anything to you about it?
What happened? A week later, I'm home and I'm watching Meet the Press, and Mr. Dulles is on. And you know, and he's where all the difficult things that they're talking about in the world today.
Sure, sure, Cold War.
And so at the end of the program, the guy said, Mr. Dulles, would you tell us, Mr. Secretary, would you tell us what's going on between you and this girl that sings that love song about you? And I'm like this, glued to the set. And he said, I make it a policy never to discuss matters of the heart in public.
That's nice. That is nice.
So he did have a sense of humor.
Carol, we have to take a little break. Please don't leave, and don't you leave either. We'll be right back with more Carol Burnett, everybody.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com. Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
The one, the only, Carol Burnett. Gary Moore had a variety show. People may not remember now that Gary Moore was a very popular variety show on this stage. What did you learn from him about heading up and running a variety show since you went on to do the greatest variety show of all time?
Well, thank you. But Gary, it said the Gary Moore show, but he wasn't the star.
Oh.
What he would do, for instance, if we were sitting around reading the script on a Monday, we would tape on a Friday, and Durward Kirby was the second banana, along with me. That's what we were called, second bananas.
Yeah.
And we'd be reading the script, and if Gary had a punchline or a joke or something, that he said, you know what? Give this to Carol or Durward. They can say it funnier than I can.
Oh, that's generous.
That's what I learned, because when I got my show, I wanted it to be a real rep company. Okay, it had my name on it, but there were sketches where I would be supporting Harvey Korman. Mm-hmm. Harvey would be supporting Vicky.
Yes.
Tim would be supporting me. And we would do, so it was a real rep company, and that's one of the things that I took away from the Gary Moore show.
There is, you know, sketch comedy, there's comedic acting, and then there's being a comic, like a stand-up. And people often say to me, like, how'd you get started in stand-up? And I go, I didn't. I started in improv. And I'm really an actor who ended up, happy accident, ended up in this job.
Well, I remember,
how did you make that decision?
What happened when I was doing Gary's show, and I'm in my 20s, and this vaudevillian was a guest that week named Ed Wynn.
Oh, I remember Ed Wynn.
Ed Wynn was, at that time, when he was guesting on Gary's show in his 70s, he'd been in the Ziegfeld Follies and everything, and he was a comedian. And I remember we were talking about, we were reading... on Monday, we were reading the sketches, and Gary asked him, what's the difference between, I hope I get this right, a comedic actor and a comic? And Ed Wynn said, a comic says funny things, and a comedic actor says things funny.
Wow, yeah. And so that's when you made your choice?
I wanted to say things funny.
Wow. I have some good news for you. It worked out. You have to take a break here, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Carol Burnett, everybody.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick Duke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to superfans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Star of Palm Royale, Carol Burnett. You're in the new series, Palm Royale, about a fancy Palm Beach country club in 1969. Who do you play?
I play Norma, who is a matriarch and kind of runs the whole society thing. She has secrets on everybody. She's kind of a blackmailer, and she has secrets of her own. And in the first two or three episodes, she's in a coma.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
So first three episodes, you're in a coma.
Yeah.
How does one do good coma acting?
Well,
because the reason I ask is that it's more than sleep, but less than death.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it. I would get up at 5 in the morning, as we do, and go to the set, and then you get in the makeup trailer, and you get all made up and everything, and dressed, and then I went to bed. Yeah, and I...
You just laid out.
I did lay out, yeah, and I got paid.
Nice work if you can get it.
Wow. But then I do start to wake up, of course, later on, and she doesn't want anybody to know that she's kind of coming out of it.
Oh.
Because she's not a very nice person, but they're the most fun to play.
Your character is obsessed with power, but also money. Uh-huh. Now, you did not grow up with much.
No.
And I am curious how your family stretched a dollar. Like, what did you do to get by?
Well, my grandmother raised me, and we lived in one room with a pull-down Murphy bed that she slept on, and I slept on the couch. Mm. But we would save our pennies to go to the movies. That was our one thing. And so when we were about to leave, Nanny, my grandmother, would say, "Let's hit the ladies' room." And we did, and then we would steal all the toilet paper.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta use your head. You gotta use your noggin there. The costumes on the show
are gorgeous,
incredible works of art. Here you are. Uh-huh. Here you are as Cleopatra, for some reason. Here you are as Marie Antoinette, for another reason. And you've always had fantastic costumes.
Bob Mackie.
You work with Bob Mackie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious, how does the costume inform or change your performance?
Completely. There were times when I didn't know how I was going to do a character until I went to the costume fitting. And Bob Mackie put me in what it was that he was going to design. Like, for instance, Mrs. Wiggins.
Sure. That tight dress.
Yeah. Originally, Tim Conway wrote those characters, and he had written Mrs. Wiggins to be this kind of doddering old lady.
Sure.
So I went into costume fitting that week, and Bob Mackie said, "You know, we've been doing a lot of doddering old ladies lately. Let's make her into this bimbo, whom the IQ fairy never visited." And so he put me in the blonde wig and the push-up bra and the tight, tight skirt. But it was an old skirt that he'd had, in the costume department. And it bagged in the behind. Oh. And I said, also he put me in these stiletto high heels. And it was, the skirt was tight around the knees, but it bagged in the behind. And I said, "Bob, I'm flat back there. You're going to have to take this in." And he said, "No, no, stick your behind into it." And I did, and that's how the walk happened.
And that, working the suit.
And that that gave me my character.
I understand that when you were a young actress trying to make it,
yeah,
you and some of your friends had a special audition dress.
I lived at a place called the Rehearsal Club here, which was a wonderful boarding house that housed women who wanted to be in the theater. It was all very much on the up and up. We didn't have much money at anything. And so I decided that five of us should go to Bloomingdale's, and each one of us, we put in $5, so we got a dress for $25 that would stand out in auditions. And we were built here the same and in the waist, so we got that fit, but then it was a full skirt that would hide any fat rear ends, and you know, and your long sleeves and turtleneck, and it was orange, and it stood out. And then if you had an audition, we would sign up for the dress, wear it for the audition, bring it back to the club, be responsible for having it cleaned, and then hung back up in the closet, waiting for the next person to use it.
Wow. Yeah. Did it work?
Yeah. I mean, I got a few callbacks. I didn't get the job, but...
baby steps.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Carol, it's such a joy to see
you. I love you.
Thank you so much for being here. Palm Royale is available now on Apple TV+. It's Carol Burnett, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game. Headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.